is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
See, the point he's making is the real shepherd doesn't have to sneak in, doesn't have to try to steal people, doesn't have to try to do all of this. The real shepherd, he comes in, the gatekeeper recognizes him, the sheep recognize his voice, and he just comes in and he walks in unashamed, without apology for who he is, because he is the true shepherd. And Jesus came just that way. He didn't come apologizing. He didn't come trying to be what they thought he should be. He didn't come playing their games. He came, he's the shepherd. He has a right to the sheep. He calls, and the sheep who hear his voice or know his voice, they come. See, he came the right way.
You ever imagined what it'd be like to be a sheep? Believe it or not, the Bible portrays God's people as sheep on multiple occasions. Are you offended? Well, maybe you shouldn't be. Are you ever stubborn, or do you ever find yourself in not-so-great situations because you followed the wrong leader? Maybe there's more resemblance there than you'd thought. There's great news in light of this, though. Today, Pastor Troy teaches that those who belong to Jesus have a great shepherd who leads and protects his flock. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 10 as he begins his message, The Good Shepherd.
I think this is a great portion of text. There's some portions of text that when you kind of chew on them and really grasp their meaning, they do your heart good. And this is one of those texts. I mean, the whole Bible is that way, but today the title is The Good Shepherd. And it's just great to understand and know what that means, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Well, we're in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 today. Now, sheep are not the brightest animal out there. I don't know if you know much about them, but they're not bright. They're very unaware, very meandering. There's something called bovine ineptitude, which is if a sheep gets on its side or in a certain position, it doesn't know how to get back up. It's like, what do I do from here? You know, like sometimes when we are on the bed and it's really comfortable, it's like, I can't get up, but it's worse for them. Ours is just an excuse. It's comfortable, but they just can't remember, how do I get up from here? So they're not the brightest animal out there in the animal kingdom. It's been said that the quality of life for a sheep is very dependent upon the shepherd who takes care of it. So the quality of life that that sheep experiences depends completely on the type of shepherd that sheep has. There was a Christian professor who said that the existence of sheep today is proof that evolution cannot be true. See, evolution is built on the idea that the fittest survive, right? The fittest survive. And so he said that with sheep, they require constant attention, constant rescuing, constant cleaning, constant everything. They've got to be taken care of constantly or they will die. So sheep are great evidence that the fittest don't necessarily survive. It's not all about that. It's no accident also that God has chosen to compare us to sheep. We have a flock mentality, a mob instinct. There are fears and timidity in us about things that freeze us like a sheep when a wolf or something is approaching. Sheep, like, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, I can't think, you know. And then it gets mauled. It needs a shepherd to defend it. So we get frozen, or stubbornness. Sheep can get so focused on themselves. Mindless wandering. We can end up wandering mindlessly. I want to do this. Oh, I've done that. I want to do it. And never aiming or hitting anything. Just kind of meandering through life. And then there's a tendency for us to focus so much on ourself that we drift away from the one who created us. Like a sheep. A sheep will eat some grass. Oh, there's some grass. Oh, there's some grass. And then there they go. They're way over here, not even thinking that I'm in danger. I've moved away from the flock. I've moved away from the shepherd. So it's a good picture. God calls us sheep because he knows people. But put your mind at ease here. The point today, we're not going to hammer that you're just dumb sheep. There's your message. You're dumb sheep. Amen. God bless you. That's not the message. No, the message is rather we have a great shepherd. That's the message. That's the point. We have an amazing shepherd who cares for us, who loves us. That's what David's thought was when he wrote Psalm 23. When he wrote those words, "The Lord is my shepherd." It was not just, "Hey, just for your information, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." No, this was a bragging of a sheep. Like, you know what? You're not well taken care of. The Lord is my, who's your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He provides for me. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear. He comforts me. It's a boast in the Lord. So today we're going to hear about Jesus as the good shepherd. We'll consider a couple of things as we do today. How the shepherd gathers and how the shepherd guides his flock. So verse 1. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, John speaking. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So first, let's consider this. The shepherd gathers his flock. We're going to look at a few different elements of his gathering the flock. First is he comes the right way. When he gathers his flock, he comes the right way. Let me give you some background, some context for the illustration here. They would have understood the illustration part easily because they were around this all the time, but they weren't taking the picture and applying it to their life, to the situation. That's where the problem was. But the picture was very clear, and here's the picture. We need to understand it so that we can get an accurate understanding of what he's saying. There are two different kinds of sheepfolds. Both are alluded to in Jesus' discussion with them. There's a sheepfold that is in the village, in the city, in the town, like a hotel or something for sheep. You know, when they go out feeding or traveling from one place to the other, they would come into town at times, bring flocks or bring on the outskirts, right there at the edge of town, and they would bring them in and they would put them in the pen, and it was sort of like a rental pen, and it was one area. There could have been multiple shepherds in town with different flocks and different herds, and they would all share the same hotel, the same pen. And so this is the village. This is in the city. And they would all stay there. There was a doorkeeper or somebody who kept them and kept them safe and stayed on guard and had the key to the door and would let them in or not come in if it wasn't the shepherd or one of the shepherds. And so there was that pen, but there was also another pen. When they would take and go on their travels, there were in different locations pens that were built. They were makeshift pens for protection. You know, they're out there and they're staying a little late or they just want to take a break. They would lead them all into this local area pen that's out in the fields. And it was mostly stones laid upon one another that would circle around or square around, however they had it laid out. And it had one entrance because you wanted to be able to defend one entrance out there. So when you would come in as a shepherd into town, you'd come in and you'd go and you'd drop off the sheep, so to speak. You would take each one, you would take your rod, and they would pass through this thin section before they go into the pen. And at that point, the shepherd would put down his rod, stop the sheep, and inspect every single sheep before it went in. Because they didn't want to have any injuries that they needed to tend to. Parasites, if they saw any parasites that could spread to the others that were in there, that would not be good. And so they would inspect them, and then they would put them in for safekeeping. They would be kept safe. In the morning, when it was time to take them out of the village, out of that pen, and go on some journey, go out into the fields, then the shepherd would come in, and the doorkeeper or the porter would recognize the shepherd and let him in. So if he didn't recognize you, you can't get into the sheep. I don't know who you are. But he would let in those who are, hey, John, all right, come on in. Get your sheep. And he would be able to go in and grab a sheep. Now, let me clarify something here for us too. Many have tried to interpret the sheepfold, the pen, in different ways. Some have said that it represents heaven. And, you can only go through the door, and others climb in. But I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But I don't think it can represent heaven at all. Because no one, no matter how nimble they are, can climb into heaven. No one's in heaven. You can't get in that way. And he mentions they're a thief, and I'll tell you why. So it's not heaven. I don't think it can be heaven at all. Some people will say, well, it's the church. It's salvation. You know, you have to come in through the door. But it doesn't seem like that the sheepfold can represent the church or salvation, because Jesus says the good shepherd, he comes and leads them out of there and walks around with them. So it doesn't represent heaven. It doesn't represent the church or salvation. I think when we understand the context of where we're at, we'll understand what the pen is.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Do you remember the context? There was the guy was born blind and he was healed. The religious leaders badgered him, and then they kicked him out of Judaism. They kicked him out. He had no longer had access to Judaism, and so which was to God. So Jesus approaches him and says, look, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, ultimately, yes, I do. I'm the Son of God. Yes, I believe in you. And so he was able to follow the Lord, the shepherd. So with that picture in mind and what the Jews had just done, kicking someone out, Jesus is referring to the pen of Judaism. Judaism was the pen that kept his people safe for a time. And until the shepherd came and called for them and says, let's go. Because I think this makes good sense if you look down to verse 16, it makes much more sense of this text. Jesus said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. There, I think, speaking of, hey, I'm calling to the Jews right now in the fold. I'm calling them out of the pen, that Judaism that kept them so safe for so many years. I'm calling them out, and I have other sheep, not of this fold. They're not in this fold. They're not with you guys. I have other sheep. And he says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. So this pen in the village. The picture is that of Judaism, which kept his people safe for all of those years. You have to confess, they weren't the greatest followers of God. In all the lists of kings that they had, in the north especially, they got a 0%. None of them followed the Lord. Not one. And so it wasn't because of their great leaders that they were able to still be a people of God. It was because they were kept in this pen of Judaism that still, no matter what, kept them set apart from the rest of the world. But now Jesus is saying to the blind man who got kicked out, look, it doesn't matter. I'm calling you out anyway. It's time to come out. So the shepherd gathers his flock. And in verse 1, Jesus paints a picture of sheep rustlers. Here's what would happen. You go into the city, and lots of crime in the city. You go into the city and you put them in the pen, and there would be some who would try to get in. They were thieves and robbers. And they would either beat up, try to kill the guard or whoever's watching the sheep, or maybe he was asleep, and they would try to steal sheep. Why? Because it's money. Money was driving then, just like it still does today. And so they were thieves and robbers who would come in and get the sheep. But here's the message. See, those who would climb into the pen to get to the sheep, they don't care about the sheep. They're thieves and robbers. They are going for the sheep for their own personal gain, their own self-interests. That's what a robber and a thief does, right? I'm doing this for myself. I don't care if I'm stealing yours. I'm not thinking about you. Oh, you know what? They earned it. They had worked so hard to get it. I'm not thinking that as a thief. I don't care about you as a thief. I care about me as a thief. What's my cut? What am I going to get? And so as a thief and a robber, they climb over and they want to get to the sheep for selfish gain, which was a picture of the Pharisees and religious leaders who had just kicked the guy out of the church, if you will. See, they were after the sheep too, but they were after them for personal gain, synagogue numbers. They wanted followers, and they kept them beat down too. All the rules. Do you know all of the rules? Well, you're breaking one of them. Which one? I don't know, but you don't know all the rules. And you'd see them all the time. This blind guy. This guy was born blind. He said, you know what? I don't know where he was born at either, but all I know is I was blind. Now I see. The man must come from God. And he gave this great, deep message to the religious leaders. And they were like, you're just a sinner. How can you teach it? We're the teachers. And so here they are beating them down. They weren't there to help them. They were there to gain from them. We need honor and prestige, and we need followers, and we need people. We need sheep. So, rather than drawing the people to God, they were often drawing men to themselves. And with their laws and their regulations and their customs, they were destroying the people, and they were causing them to lose their desire to worship and honor God. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, God said to the kings and religious leaders, he said this, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Because that's exactly what they were doing. They were using the people for themselves, for their own numbers, for their own strength. God was opposed to the census. You know, how many do we got? Oh, yeah, look at me. I've led more people than so-and-so or King so-and-so. My kingdom is bigger. But God also said to those religious leaders and kings who he expected to be shepherds, not lords, I'm going to come down very hard on you for this. And then look at verse 2. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, the point he's making is the real shepherd doesn't have to sneak in, doesn't have to try to steal people, doesn't have to try to do all of this. The real shepherd, he comes in, the gatekeeper recognizes him, the sheep recognize his voice, and he just comes in and he walks in unashamed, without apology for who he is, because he is the true shepherd. And Jesus came just that way. He didn't come apologizing. He didn't come trying to be what they thought he should be. He didn't come playing their games. He came, he's the shepherd. He has a right to the sheep. He calls, and the sheep who hear his voice or know his voice, they come. See, he came the right way. In fact, the red carpet was rolled out for the Good Shepherd. What do I mean by that? Well, 300 plus prophecies were like rolling out the carpet for the one to come. He's going to be born here. He's going to be like this. This is what you're going to see. This is what you can expect. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, we read this. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Those lines, born of a woman, born under the law. It's as if he's saying he came the way he was supposed to. He came the right way. He came through the front door. Notice he doesn't only come the right way. Remember in our gathering, but he also calls the right way. Verse 3 says this, he calls his own sheep by name. Remember, in the village, which we're still in the village right now, we're going to transition here in a moment, but we're in the village still. In the village, no. Sorry. It was just right there. So we're in the village, and in there are different flocks, right? Different shepherds will come in and get, but I'm going to tell you something about sheep. You may not have noticed this. They all look the same. You look at a sheep. Yeah, that's a sheep. Well, I can tell, you know, certain bigger, fluffier, whatever, but that's a sheep. How do you know all those sheep? We have chickens right now. And, you know, some of them are like brown. We got a white one and a couple of black ones. And I can tell them colors. But we have like, is it like three black ones? And my daughter's, oh, that's this one, that's this one, that's this one. Like, how do you know that? But they know. They raised them. They know every little detail about them. Well, the same is true with a shepherd. So here's what a shepherd would do. When you approach all these massive sheep, there are no brandings on them. There are no marks. These sheep can't have any of that. They can't be marked up, nothing. They have to be in great order. So they have to be just sheep in good condition. I mean, they're all good condition. So here's how you would get your sheep. A shepherd, all a shepherd has to do is call a sheep. That's it. His sheep, there's something about sheep, they can tell a pitch, a frequency, I mean, every little detail. They hear their shepherd because they're around their shepherd all the time. They're not always looking at him. They hear his voice. And so when the shepherd is doing something, certain things, the shepherd is always with them. So they learn his nuances, learn his voice. When they hear his voice, it's like, and they come out, they'll come out, he'll count them, make sure that they're all there, that all of them there are his, that, you know, one didn't just kind of follow along, and then he's good to go. So Jesus calls the right way. They respond to his voice. There was a case in Australia, the stolen sheep trial. There was a man who had his pen, had his sheep. Another guy came, took one of the sheep, and said that was his sheep. Said, no, that was my sheep. And so this guy who had the sheep took him to court. They went to court, and the guy who brought the case before said, hey, he took my sheep, but this guy said, no, that was my sheep. So they started with this guy, and they said, okay, we're going to bring in the sheep. We need the sheep here. So they had the sheep, and they had the first guy who was claiming that the sheep was stolen from him go out and call the sheep. Called the sheep, and the sheep was like, looked a little startled and scared and just didn't move or anything. Well, they had the other guy go out and call the sheep. And the sheep did everything it could to try to get over to that man.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
The light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.